Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We are leaving the weekend on a hopefully the closure of going through the bullets of Republic Review. Kind of covered those on Wednesday and yesterday, but I hope to get through the last of them today. There's only basically four more bullets, but before we do, as I always do, I need to at least give you the obligatory stuff. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, 1798Part2.org, and RepublicReview.org. Of course, this is the only show that is asserting the only constitutional solutions to putting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution and restoring the powers, roles, and responsibilities that belong to the states that were not enumerated within the Constitution. The number to call in is 215-867-8255. And so if you have the compulsion but you can't remember the numbers, it's 215-TOP, T-O-P, TALK, T-A-L-K. And with that, I will go ahead and jump down to that little bit of groveling I will do. If you want to make a difference, you can always get involved by joining the Constitution Club. So let me plug them first. And one of the things I would highly recommend is if you are a part of a patriot organization that is just tired of Facebook shutting you down over the conservative comments and or over planning and so forth, and how they're deleting accounts and so forth. The Constitution Club, if you haven't checked it out, it is kind of like a social media platform. They are offering you a collaborative workspace that you can go into your own county, start working with people. Now, I understand Facebook allows you to connect well outside of that, and so does the Constitution Club. But more importantly, it actually identifies people down to their counties. It's not spying, and it's not selling your information and so forth to, you know, different, I would say, nefarious companies, whether that be Amazon, Google, and so forth, how they're all kind of colluding, you know, like Russia is. Like the Russia collusion and the Democrats and all of that. So if you go check out theconstitutionclub.com, or actually it's .ning.com, then you can actually find not only just good resources, but find other people that you may not even know that are in your county that are working together. And I kind of find it ironic where there's all sorts of people, patriots, that are connected, you know, across state boundaries and throughout the Republic. But they don't even know when you start asking them, hey, do you know this guy? This guy happens to live in the same county as they do. And actually, I will tell you, the Keith Borders had actually did that with me because he identified a couple of people that were leaders in certain causes that were very close to my home or previous home and so forth. And so it is the ultimate patriot network. Now, I know that there's the Constitution Net. Or constitutionnet.com, I think that's what it's called. That is a different organization as well. And I will just, I'll just leave this for you. If you go check out Constitution Club and then go check out me, we, and these others, you will find that there is definitely a focus on the Constitution Club. So if you're tired of, you know, just the people that want to rant and you really want to be a part of the solution, constitutionclub.ning.com is a great place to get involved. Another way to get involved is you can just send me an email. As you know, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. If you send me an email, I will respond. I may not respond immediately, but I do respond. And I will help enlist or help, you know, help you manage or at least find out what you want to do, what you can do, and what would be a good fit for you regarding research and or leadership and what have you. So with that, I just also want to basically thank you, because I don't think I did it yesterday. I have these little reminders that, hey, don't forget to thank the audience for tuning in. So I do want to thank you for tuning in. And more importantly, I thank you for telling your friends and actually going out. If you go to redstateradio.com, which a lot of you may be on, most people I think are either listening via the airwaves on the 300 radio stations that are broadcasting, or there's a lot of people that are streaming and so forth. And so those few of you that are actually on Red State Radio or redstatetalkradio.com, just take that URL and throw it out into Facebook and or social media and say, hey, if you're not getting a part of this dialogue, then you're really missing out. And that's a great way where people can kind of start doing campaigns. And, oh, by the way, I believe Matt Hawkins, I'd have to talk to him again, but I think he started a hashtag Reclaiming the Republic, or maybe it was hashtag Republic Review. I don't know. I don't know how to do the, it's not that I don't know how, it's just a matter of don't have time to manage that type of stuff. So if you want to go ahead and start that, there you go. That would be a great way to help growing the show, because as more and more people start listening and tuning in to understand the principles of auditing a contract and that the Constitution is a contract that can be audited, and those stakeholders that would be auditing the contract are the states. It's pretty simple. This isn't rocket science. And as a matter of fact, I think the simplicity was a big part of the divine hand of providence. Now, I do understand also, way back when they were writing this Constitution, there was definitely an elitist group, and Madison was a part of that elitist group. There is no doubt, if you read his writings, Madison was not a fan of the electorate, or I should say the illiterate electorate, because he just thought that they were just too uneducated. However, if they owned property and they were willing to pay their poll tax, then they would be able to partake in the system. And so he wanted to create a system that was simple enough, and I think that that was the intent overall from the framers, as well as that divine hand of providence that inspired them. I believe the intent was to give us a system that would be actually very easy to fathom today. When you hear conservative radio talk show hosts who might have a lawyer degree or what have you tell you, now, folks, it's kind of complicated. Well, that's not true. It is not complicated at all. And this show actually proves how uncomplicated it really is. And the evidence that absolutely supports that, that's what this show goes through and provides you. Well, with that, as I always do, before I started this show up, I took a quick scan. Has the federal government decided to get out of the business of tyranny? No, that headline had not occurred. And so we are literally dealing with a situation, and I say this every day. And the reason I say this every day, for those of you who listen all the time and go, why does he keep on repeating this? Because it has to actually resonate in your head that they are not going to relinquish any power that they have taken from you and from your state. That you have to get it. If you don't get it, then we will lose it. So what you have to do is understand that you have to contribute if you are going to stop this. This is not about one person. This is not about, if you want somebody to stop this republic, then leave it alone, because Soros is that one guy that's spending billions of dollars to do just that, to stop this republic. If you want to save this republic, it is not going to be a one billionaire person that is going to do that. It is literally going to require the republic to stand up and fight, which means that means you. And that's why I always state that there's no sign or news that the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. That means that you and I are going to have to do it. We're going to have to force the issue, force the conversation. My focus has been in Wyoming, in getting Wyoming and the Dakotas, Kansas, Utah, and Idaho to stand up and take lead. If we can get one state to take lead, then we have a great shot at getting a lot of states on board. I know that Oklahoma, probably Tennessee, there are lots of other states that when they realize this is not just a good idea, this is a constitutional idea that was actually actually originated in Jefferson's book, Notes on the State of Virginia. That's how far back this idea goes in creating a social contract, a contract between the states and for the states, in creating a general government, delegating them very specific powers. And if they get outside of those powers, if they start crossing lines or going across boundaries, then you can use the audit and the contractual controls that the states have and the authority that the states have in getting them to abide by that contract. They put all the teeth necessary in the contract to literally go after their services, or I should say their public servants and so forth. And so as you listen to the show, you're going to get a lot of that. And I'm going to be providing some of the last few bullets in the irrefutable argument. Are we going to talk about those in a little bit? That's kind of like news at 11. But moving forward, I do want to at least give you some good news. And I'm not sure, as I watch this clock ticking away, I'll tell you, time flies when you just think you can turn away, because I was just a little bit slow getting on today, and that's just because my eyes wandered away from the clock. Anyway, I'm at a hard break, but when you come back, we're going to talk about a great bypass of the progressives Trump did this week in stacking the court. And so we'll be right back after word from our sponsors with some really good news for you. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Yeah, and so the Ninth Circuit Court had three vacant spots. And interestingly enough, there's this tradition that the president usually goes to the senators who happen to live in that home state where that court resides, and ask them for any ideas, suggestions, nominees. And he didn't go to Feinswein and Harry's on the nominees. What he actually did was poke both of those gals in the eye and said, thank you, but no thank you, especially after all of the discrediting you have done to the system. We'll basically take this from here. And what he did was he nominated three really good, supposedly, it is reported that each of these are members, his nominees are members of the Conservative Federalist Society. So they're probably real fans of this show. So I have to put this out in front of this because I'm really bad with names. And so forgive me, Patrick Abumate, I think. Daniel Collins, I got that, and Kenneth Lee are the three nominees to fill these vacant seats in the Ninth Circuit Court. And to me, that is great. That is, it's about time we stop allowing them to just continually give us activist agenda-driven jurists to sit on these courts and basically do everything they possibly can to undermine everything that he's trying to do. And so with that, let me just kind of move forward, because I think that this is only a minor step in the right direction for Trump to take back the court. If Trump can maintain a midterm victory, or I should say the Republicans can maintain a control of the House, I will go on record to say once again that the Republicans need to reel in the court. Congress has the powers to do just that. Check the Constitution out. They can literally reprimand the court for stepping outside of jurisdiction. The problem is that they won't do it, and I'll tell you why they won't do it. Because then it would disturb their jurisdiction. They would actually have to get the court and themselves to abide by the constitutional boundaries that the Constitution provides. So they would have to give up all of these things that they're doing, and they're not necessarily going to do that. But there are some little things that they might do. But as I said in the last segment, the federal government is not going to relinquish any powers, especially any controls that they have over us, as unconstitutional as they may be. They're not going to do it. So anyway, I thought I would tell you, it's back. So it looks like Russia is right back into the news and the cycle, except this time, it looks like the GOP is on the offensive. So Senator Ron Johnson is demanding documents regarding the FBI's 2016 interactions with a lawyer working for the DNC and the Clinton campaign who provided information on this Russia meddling. In other words, who tried to create this house of cards. And so it might be a good thing, but we have to, I don't know, I would like to see I'd like to see into the future, but I can't understand why there is not pressure at this point in time from the administration and from Congress to literally reel in Mueller. Mueller has been going way too long, and they need to basically say, okay, bring your charges. You have until this time. If you don't have any credible leads that prove that Trump was, involved and actually got blood on his hands, then shut it down. And oh, by the way, Congress may want to consider going back after those, these few people that Mueller tried to make political examples of, and may want to look at trying to either exonerate or asking Trump to exonerate or what have you. Because bottom line, Manafort and those others are literally just victims in the political scheming of the communist machine. Speaking of communists, though, I'm not sure if you saw this. Half of O'Rourke, Beto O'Rourke's $38 million. And who is this guy? He is running to try to unseat Senator Cruz. And he received $38 million in the last few months in fundraisers, but over half of that money came from outside the state. I am telling you that the globalists are doing anything and everything they possibly can to buy the best government they can get. and that government is literally going to shred the what's left of our Constitution and destroy our republic, because that's exactly what they're trying to do. I was talking to a person today, a really good Wyomingian who's actually had a career on the air as well as been a part of the GOP machine in Wyoming. And he just didn't understand, why in the heck is the government trying to kill itself? Why is the government trying to kill America and our liberties and all of this? Why are they doing this? And I told him, it's really not the government. It is those who control the government that are literally trying to push their agenda, their globalist agenda, down our throats and literally make us a part of that, because they have gotten enough out of America that they're done with us. I have told you that we have been subsidizing the communist revolution for the past century. And now that everybody is kind of on board with this new globalist idea, the new world order, the, you know, these thousand points of light and everything else, I truly believe that they're literally putting into place the last parts of the play to get their globalist agenda finalized. They're already talking, and there's been some conversations on this, and I've talked about this when we were exposing China, not only for the live organ harvesting, but we were exposing China as actually putting together the Big Brother government system to watch you and to actually give you dynamic credits or penalties on your behavior as a citizen, and rewarding you by giving you better housing, you know, better pay, whatever they can reward you with and incentivize you. And if you do bad, you literally just go away in the Italian sense. And so, and I guess that's unfair to Italians, but I think you know what I mean. Anyway, going back to this whole thing of O'Rourke receiving half of his $38 million out of state, I know the Constitution Club posted a lot of this info. They didn't post this particular info, but they've been posting info regarding the Senate races and how much money has been coming across state lines. Remember this old adage, he who pays the piper calls the tune. So just understand why it is important, why the rescission of the 17th Amendment today is critical, so that we can actually start getting the state legislatures empowered again and having influence over the direction of this country. I'll tell you, the Senate would be completely different today if the state legislators were appointing their senators instead of the general election. There are a lot of good reasons why we need to rescind the 17th Amendment. I mean rescind, not repeal. Repeal is too high of a mountain to climb, but rescinding, because we've already talked about this, go through my podcast and understand what it takes to rescind the 17th Amendment. And that way we can get the big government out of the purchasing of the Senate. I just can't see Soros buying 7,383 state legislator seats so that he can get his Senate stacked the way he wants. One other thing on the communist front, because our whole system has been infiltrated. I'm not sure if you know or heard about, but Harvard has this thing that's called the W.E.B. Du Bois Medal. And if you do the research on Mr. Du Bois, then you will understand that he actually went to Germany and he was a part of the inculcation and the indoctrination of the new world government of communism. And he came back as a huge advocate for communism. Well, Harvard actually has the W.E.B. Du Bois Medal, and in October they actually honored seven candidates, who one was your very own Colin Kaepernick, and then Dave Chappelle, Kendall Wiley, as well as and Kendall Wiley, who's the guy that painted the former president and his wife in those big murals, and even Bryan Stevenson. Why is this important? Because they're literally rewarding those who are promoting communism in America just right in front of us. That's how blatant they are in basically saying, hey, that's right, we're out, we're doing this, and what are you going to do about it? And I've been asking you, you can do something about it. It has nothing to do with chasing down your passion. It has everything to do with getting your state to do its job. It's that simple, my friends. And so with that, I am going to literally jump into the final few bullets that I have of Republic Review. We're going to get started with 10, but I'll do a quick review just to kind of recap for those who actually missed the Wednesday, Thursday covering of it, and then we'll pick it up from 10 as soon as we get back from this hard break. And so please stay tuned, and we're going to actually walk through the irrefutable academic argument for Republic Review and auditing the Constitution. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after this. Thanks so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And so let me kind of plow forward. As we covered this, and I'm going to just kind of highlight this, the whole concept of Republic Review is auditing the Constitution. It's not auditing the federal government. I've had a lot of people from different organizations, John Birch Society and so forth, go, why is it that you're auditing the Constitution? That seems like you're opening it up. You have to go through the contract. The Constitution is the contract. And so when you audit an entity that is charged with responsibilities within that contract, what you do is you go through the contract in identifying what they're supposed to be doing and identifying all the things that they're doing that they're not supposed to be doing. And you can only do that by reviewing the contract. It's not that hard. And as a matter of fact, it doesn't even open up. And as I've stated, this does not create an amendment path. It does not make any changes to the Constitution. It is using the Constitution as a weapon to hit the federal government over the head and say, where did you get the power to do this, 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 and this? I know that they've been doing this for a long time. As I was talking to a good constitutional scholar yesterday, the fact is, there is nothing in this contract that says, hey, if we can get away with fooling the public and fooling the states of letting us do these things that we have no jurisdiction, have no right, power, or role or responsibility within this contract to do these things, but if we can get away with it for 50 years, then it becomes constitutional, and the Constitution must be amended to allow us to continue to do these things. You won't find that, folks. You will not find any statute of limitations that says as long as we can get away with it for all this time, it becomes legal. There's no way. A contract is a hard, fast document. Now, I can understand that when you have different types of legal systems and so forth, you might be able to migrate with common law and those types of things. But I want to also refresh your mind and memory. When I covered the constitutional debates or the ratification debates, I clearly identified that the Constitution does not define any law. It does not create law itself. What it does is it creates the boundaries for the federal government, and any laws that the federal government makes in pursuit of this Constitution, of this contract, becomes the supreme law of the land. In other words, if the federal government's, you know, because one of the things that is enumerated within the Constitution, if the federal government says, okay, we're going to start delivering automatic weapons and light armament vests and helmets and boots and tactical gear to all members of the militia, that's right there within the Constitution, that the federal government is responsible for arming and equipping the militia. So they create this new act or this new law that they're going to start providing and doing an exchange program for these weapons with these or what have you. That is clearly in pursuant of the Constitution. What isn't in pursuant or what isn't in congruence or harmony to the Constitution and the contract is health care. There is nothing in the Constitution that gives the federal government the authority to be able to create or demand health care or regulate health care. They have no business meddling with it. Zero, nada in jurisdiction. Only those things. This is Madison talking. This is Nicholas talking. This is Wilson talking. This is all of the framers throughout the ratification debates clearly stated. Even John Marshall stated that if it is not an enumerated power within the Constitution, they cannot do it. They can't meddle with it. They have no jurisdiction. So the whole point of auditing this Constitution, and where do you get the fact that the Constitution is a contract? Article 7. Article 7 clearly lays out that this Constitution needs to be ratified in conventions at the states. And ratifying is what it means, that it is the formal acceptance process of accepting a compact or a contract. The legal definition of ratification has not changed since then to today. It literally means the same thing. And also the seventh article clearly states who has to buy into the contract. Who are the founders? So when you hear people call, because you'll find supposedly patriots out there that have just been, anybody that uses the term founder for a person, is literally somebody that is espousing a progressive paradigm. That has been the revisionist of history. The founders of the Constitution were the states. The framers would have never considered themselves founders because they had no authority to buy into this Constitution. Only the states did. So technically, the founders are the states, and as new states joined the Union, they became founders as well with equal footing. And that was the deal. That was the beauty of this constitutional republic. So, as we kind of go through, then it's clearly stated in my bullets, as you go through these things, I lay out where you can find the authority for this, the authority for this, and the reason why we have to do this amendment. And so, yesterday I picked up at 8, where you actually have the action, where at a certain point in time, when you have enough states, like 13 states, once you have 13 states that say the federal government can't do any of these things anymore, what that means is the federal government, even if they woke up and said, you know what, we need to create amendments to give us the authority to regulate labor. We need to create an amendment to give us the authority to, you know, regulate, create, and mandate healthcare, energy, all of education, all of these things that they're doing that they have no authority doing. And if you start understanding the magnitude of this, the magnitude of this is the fact that there is so much that they are doing that is out of scope of the Constitution that if we got them to stop doing it, over 80% of the money they are spending would no longer be able to be spent. See, it's not about how much money they're spending. It's what they're spending the money on. If you can legally write the check for that purpose, then okay. If you can't, then no, you can't do that. And who told you you could? And whoever did, they were lying. They've been, you know, fooling you. And there is even an argument to say that whenever people are illegally spending money outside the boundaries, even if they didn't know it, and even if everybody said it was okay, doesn't make it okay. So there's a good argument that all this debt that we have, we really don't have any. There's a good argument that says that the Federal Reserve and all the money they've taken from us means that they had no right of taking that money from us. Bottom line is everything hinges on all of this huge house of cards that has been created by, you know, all of these people that have been in power to say, yeah, we can do this. Yeah, we're doing this. And whether you like it or not, we're going to do this. And that's what it all depends upon. As we proceed through this auditing process, then you will find that they have been making it up as they go along. And as we peel this stuff back, all of the regulations that have been hindering the states, such as the ability to harvest your forestry, the ability to mine the minerals, we have so many precious rare metal minerals in America that we would not have to be buying all this crap from the global market. Why is it that we have shut down so much production and so much mining? It forces us into the global market, and what we're doing is literally subsidizing and funding socialist regimes by having to buy their crappy garbage. Do you understand that? That's how insidious this whole thing has been since the very beginning. America has almost every single resource it needs. And if not, we have the ability and the innovation to actually overcome any of those types of shortcomings. We really don't necessarily need the world. The world needs us and has been using us as a footstool for over a century. And it's time we actually change that position, not for any type of arrogance type of purposes. It's time that we take back control of our own destiny. And the only way to do that is getting the states to do that. So bullet 10, and where do you get this? You can go to reclaimingtherepublic.org homepage. And right there on the homepage, you'll find, right underneath the headliners, you'll find Republic Review argument in bullet format. Just above that, it'll say the irrefutable argument for Republic Review. So go through these bullets. If you've got a question or you want to challenge any of these, by all means, call or send me an email. That's fine. I mean, it's taken me a lot of heat and a lot of, you know, I'll call it the founder's fire, where you kind of just go through the forging, you know, the furnaces and so forth and pounding these things out. And it's not like I've really made hardly any changes to this. I've just basically changed the vernacular because some groups are really highly sensitive to the C word. And what I mean by the C word, I mean convention. The John Birch Society, some of those guys will start flipping into convulsions when you mention convention. And what really upsets them is because I actually use the term convention loosely, because convention by definition is a process or a methodology. In engineering, we use conventions all the time. It's not necessarily always a political a meeting of delegates, but I digress. Let me get back to bullet 10 as soon as we come back from break. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so this part right here, bullet 10, is, I think, the death knell for those, such as those who might be in the John Birch Society or any organization that says, hey, Republic Review is a fast track to an Article 5 convention. And if you understand what I'm saying here, because I'm going to help explain it, so hopefully you fully understand this. If a state has an active application for an Article 5 convention, it should rescind or withdraw its application to ensure it is not sending mixed signals and clearly asserting its constitutional authority over the contract. Sub-bullet. Consequently, the coalesced republic, while conducting republic review, will not possess the constitutional powers to amend the Constitution in any way. Next sub-bullet. This is simply exercising their authority individually and collectively to validate and demand compliance to their contract, or I say here, constitution. If you want to see the details or the any document that supports the veracity of this, go look at the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions of 1798, as well as the Federalist Papers number 49. Clearly, you will not see any mention that they're calling for a convention to amend the Constitution. They are seeking rebuking the federal government and obtaining compliance from the federal government. Final sub-bullet of bullet 10. Furthermore, this audit by the Republic for Republic Review does not require Congress to appoint a place or time to conduct the audit. This audit will not be done in a single location. This audit will be done from the state legislators' offices, right there in their assembly halls, right there at the state capitals. They will all be connected online, and they will be using secure comms to be able to ensure that hackers won't be able to bridge their networks or deny them of service, shut them down, or anything like that. They will use the state-of-the-art cryptography so that they will literally be able to operate without any type of influences from external enemies, internal enemies, or the federal government. That's right. So we'll be functioning in a cloud of, if you want to call it, all of this work will be going on online in what you would call a cloud of secrecy. However, there will be full transparency because everybody will be seeing what's going on across the Republic. You know, so you'll have visual ability to see this stuff and what they're voting on and what they're saying, what they're writing down. But you will just not have access to those networks and those computers that are actually operating Republic Review. In my third book, which I wrote and I haven't edited or published or anything, once we get a couple of states going, I will probably get my third book into an editor and get that third book done. But in my third book, I talk about the architecture of the system that we can use with a PL5. It's called Protection Layer 5 for security levels, of being able to move data into and, you know, into this kind of secret cloud. And really, it's not a secret cloud because it's not that the information is secret. It's access to that network and those systems will be heavily guarded. That way, nobody, this system cannot communicate with the World Wide Web, and they will not be able to connect to anything. But you'll be able to see all of this information, and they'll be able to pipe this information out. It'll be by sneaker net, but it will not be accessible. So hackers from China, South Korea, North Korea, Mexico, Iran, any of these friends, so-called unfriendlies, whatever, they will not be able to persuade or influence this network at all. Bullet 11. The audit is what Madison and Jefferson accomplished in 1798 with the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions. Now, as you understand what I am talking about, I ask you to go, and we have read them, go through the podcast or go read them yourself. Read the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions. The audit, every time they talk about this is not there, this is not there, you were violating this, where did you get this power? All of these things are literally the process of auditing the contract. They did it in a legal sense instead of in a contractual sense. If you know bean counters, and if you know, you know, auditor, you know, subject matter experts and those types of things, they work a little bit different than a lawyer. So when you're reading it, most people completely miss the fact that that is exactly what Madison and Jefferson were doing. They were auditing the Constitution. Jefferson audited the Constitution with the state legislators within the chambers in 1798, and they promulgated the resolution of Kentucky in October. Madison followed up in response to the Kentucky resolution with the Virginia state legislators and promulgated their request of the rest of the Republic to join them in December 1798. Unfortunately, Jefferson and Madison were, you know, shut down. They were not successful in getting the other states to join in shutting down the federal government. How many states do you believe, and how long will it take to clean up the state legislators to getting them to actually free the states from federal slavery? I don't think it'll take long, especially when we start getting all of these different organizations that are supporting us, from the Constitution Club, from the We the People Foundation, the Constitution Association, and other organizations. When they start recognizing the merit in this, we are going to surgically start isolating and getting good state legislators into the state legislations sessions, and so that way we can get them moving forward and participating in this. This is our only hope. If you think that there is some other way, by all means, the number to call in, what is that number? Let me look it up. If you want to call in, we still have time. 215-867-8255. There you go. By all means, just call if there's another way other than this audit. So bullet 12, here we go. Republic review is what Madison and Jefferson attempted with the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions, called upon their fellow states to join them in rebuking the general government for violating their constitution. Their fellow states failed to fulfill their obligation of oversight over their contract, which is why Madison and Jefferson were not successful in conducting Republic review. Their last resort and only option was to nullify the unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers created from those acts. Bullet 13. In harmony with Madison and Jefferson's actions, the audit only requires one state to initiate and call for Republic review. And so at this point, I ask and invite you, the listening audience, and you, the participant, to go look at the Republic review process model, and you will actually see, you know, how this thing flows. We'll get into that next week. In harmony with, okay, so yeah, the next step is 14, bullet 14, actions. The Republic review process will identify all infractions of the contract and provide two directions to Congress by disseminating directive resolutions. When 13 or more states do not want the general government to continue exercising roles, responsibilities, and powers that are violations of the Constitution, the list of these roles, responsibilities, and powers will be sent to Congress in directive resolutions for Congress to dismantle or schedule the decommissioning of these roles, responsibilities, and powers. A role, responsibility, and power that 38 states or more must express the desire for the general government to maintain, then the unconstitutional RRP will then be directed in a resolution submitted to Congress, who will then initiate an Article 5 process. So let's say there's something that the states really want to keep. They want the CDC. They want something that, you know, the federal government is doing that they deem is good. And they say, hey, you know, we want you to do this. And we've got 38 states right here that agree we want you to do this. Believe you me, the federal government will provide the necessary and or proper amendment to the Constitution so that they can move forward in doing this. Then the unconstitutional RRP through the directive resolution will be submitted, and they will initiate the Article 5 process to amend the Constitution to allow the states to delegate. Because, see, that's the key thing here, friends. The states have to delegate via an amendment to the Constitution before the federal government can actually do it. 15, and I've actually got less than a minute left. Congress will promulgate resolutions that acknowledge the shutting down, and basically I've got these sub-bullets that they'll create these directive resolutions that will propagate to either dissolve and or dismantle or decommission whichever they deem fit on the expediency of getting rid of the RRPs. And 16, in accordance to the guidance of the directive resolutions, Congress will promulgate amendments to obtain the proper delegation authority from the state. So in other words, these are the two actions that come out of those resolutions that are coming from the Republic Review. I am G.R. Mobley. I am reclaiming the Republic. And this is the process that we have to use, folks. And I will be back on Monday. God bless. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.